Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In 2 Timothy 4:5, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, which I take to mean that Timothy was an evangelist. That was his office, that was his role, that was his assignment, and when Paul said, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, he was saying, do what you have been appointed to do. I couple that with Ephesians chapter 4, where we read in verse 11, and Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Four offices, four positions, four leadership positions that Christ gave to the church, two for the foundation stage and then to disappear, two to continue on until the Lord returns. Apostles and prophets were temporary and are no longer in operation. But evangelist and pastor-teacher are permanent, and they continue to be in operation. By the way, I would take it that all four of these would be filled by men who would be properly called elders. Why do I say that? Well, because Peter, who was obviously an apostle, wrote to other elders and identified himself as an elder. Remember that in 1 Peter chapter 5. So, apostles are elders. I would take it prophets are elders, evangelists are elders, pastor teachers are elders. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, he identifies himself as an elder. He doesn't say, I'm an apostle. He says, I'm an elder, because apostles were elders. Now, he could have said, I'm an apostle, and he did say that when he opened this epistle. The very opening words are, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But now when he's addressing the elders, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He didn't say that he was an apostle, but he did say that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, meaning an eyewitness, and that would set him apart from the other elders. In fact, that's one of the requirements to be an apostle. But Peter was an elder, but he wasn't a pastor, pastor-teacher. He was an apostle. Apostles are elders. I take it that prophets are elders. I take it that evangelists are elders. I take it that pastor-teachers are elders. All of these in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now I'm going to say something at this point that some of you are not going to be happy with, I'm sure. But I really don't find any place in Scripture, any biblical warrant for the concept of a ruling elder as distinct from a teaching elder. Now that concept is sometimes thought to be found in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. And on the basis of that text, I have been told that there are two categories of elders. There are ruling elders, let the elders who rule well, and then there are teaching elders, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. But that is not what the text says. I'm sorry, but that's not what the text says. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And we'll talk about that double honor in a moment. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. It's the same group. Now, some of them may labor more especially in the word and doctrine, but they all do. They all rule and they all labor in the word and doctrine. But there may be some who are appointed for more conspicuous public ministry of the word, but they're all supported financially by the church. There is not a class of ruling elders that is not supported by the church as opposed to teaching elders that are. Not according to this text, and I don't think you'd find any other text anyplace else that would teach that either. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, that is, double honorarium. For, skipping down to verse 18, the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. So the ruling elders that Paul has in mind are elders, in other words, they're pastors, they're ministers who are supported financially by the church. They ought to be supported generously, double honor. The only other reference to honor in this context, in this chapter, is to the widows. Honor widows who are widows indeed, and that obviously has to do with financial support. Verse 3, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God, continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and so forth. These are qualifications for the widows who are going to be supported financially by the church. And so when Paul says, honor widows who are really widows, and then he goes on to tell you how you can distinguish between the widows that you ought to honor and the widows that you don't honor. He's not talking about paying respect to, honoring in that respect. In that regard, you should honor all of them. But he's talking about financial support. Honor, that is, financially support the widows who are truly widows according to this definition, this list of qualifications. The church should support them financially. And then he gets down a little bit later in the chapter and he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, not double respect. You ought to respect elders who rule well and teach well, but that's not what's in mind here, because again, the context makes it clear. First of all, the word honor is used, and I would take it in the same sense that it's used in regard to the widows, honorarium, financial support. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, that is, a higher level of financial support than would be appropriate for widows who are being financially supported by the church. Elders should be given more financial consideration than that. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. This can only be talking about financial support for the elders who rule well. That's why I say I don't think the Bible teaches that there is a category of ruling elders. It's basically our lay elders, as opposed to a category of teaching elders who are clergymen. and are in a different category. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches at all. And when I go back to what Peter said again in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Shepherd and oversee. Now he goes on to say very clearly, don't do this with a heavy hand. You're not lording it over God's heritage, but you are overseers. That's the same as ruling well. To oversee is to administrate, to lead in an administrative way. So the elders who rule well are the overseers who oversee well, but you're supposed to do that. You're also supposed to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Shepherd has the idea of feeding. In fact, the Old King James says that, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And it's the idea of teaching the Word of God and administrating the affairs of the church. Same man, same office, dual function, one man who teaches the Word of God and oversees, administrates the affairs of the church, and that's exactly what you find indicated in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that we looked at a moment ago. Let the elders who rule well, administrate, oversee, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, feed the flock. So all of this corresponds. It all seems to fit together very obviously to me. I know that not everyone sees it that way, but that's the way I see it, and that's why I thought I'd share that. But back to 1 Corinthians 14, we find a different picture here. And the point of 1 Corinthians 14 is that this is something different than what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is an earlier stage in the church. Now we're talking about prophets and tongue speakers. You don't find any mention of that in 1 Timothy 5 or 1 Peter 5. So I think this early stage of the church, which had apostles who received divine revelation and ministered it to the churches in a more of an overseeing itinerant fashion, and prophets who received divine revelation and ministered that to the churches in more of a preaching, teaching in the local church situation, they were the forerunners of the evangelists who are the itinerary workers who plant churches and establish faltering churches, help establish, reestablish, strengthen, and pastor teachers who replace the prophets who now don't minister with direct revelation but teach the Bible, the revelation of God that has been given to us in written form. So that's what I see, and I think that Timothy was an evangelist. So, I think I'll have to take one more program to finish this up, and then we'll get back into 2 Timothy chapter 5. Thank you for your patience. I know that I've been wandering from our 2 Timothy study, but I hope that it's been helpful. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.